I'm going to start out. I want to show you a little clip here that was put together for our youth camps. If you can give me my PowerPoint. I've been preaching on the new normal, and I've been saying that everybody's talking about the new normal after the pandemic. I want to talk about the new normal for the church after the pandemic, because especially the church, the last days remnant church, it's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to understand that the world today is looking for you. They're looking for a demonstration, a testimony, a witness of a living God that's at work on planet Earth. A God they cannot see with their eyes, but they can see you. And so you know what God's doing? And this is the new normal in the church. He's giving you a testimony. And there's no moaning without a test. You know that word moaning in the word testimony? It's you know, the word ceremony, it's like an event. A test is like an event in your life, and dependent on how you handle it, it can become a testimony that God can use to touch and to bless others. I want you to think about that, because Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And this is not earthly power. This is spiritual power. This is power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you don't have to be a preacher, a teacher, a prophet, or evangelist. God wants to specialize in using the least likely people. And, you know, many times people that have a need, they're not afraid of somebody that they relate to. A pastor, somebody with a collar, you know, they might be afraid. But God's going to put somebody in your path so that you can talk about that power. How and when God healed you. How God set you free. And you'll be a witness. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me. And I want you to know that's what we're pouring into these teenagers when they come tomorrow and here for 5 days and nights. And we're going to be raising them up and sending them. On the little video clip that you saw in the video announcements, you showed a lot of the outdoor events. I want to show you a little bit about what goes on here around the altar.
I'm saying goodbye to every limitation.
This song says there's no limits. He's limitless. God is limitless.
Hello to the God.
Young people need to hear that. Prepared is our theme. A generation made ready. We're preparing them to send them, train them and send them.
There are no limits.
There's no limits with you. You're limitless.
Come on, sing it out. You know, sing, you're limitless. You're limitless.
I submit to you today that God predetermined before each and every one of you got your hands dealt in life, that you would be a symbol of limitless potential. It doesn't matter the cards that you've been dealt. You know the card dealer.
Hallelujah.
You know the one who holds them all.
He holds all the cards. Brother Tao.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're away from God, if you've been that person who's just got the t-shirt, but you're never going all in, I need you to make a decision today, yes or no.
It's Adam McCain.
Will you go all in for the Lord?
I don't want you to walk out here and think, well, I can really do what I want to do because God's going to forgive me. Oh, yes, he most definitely will forgive you. But you will pay a price. Yes.
Lord Jesus, here in the company of my friends and in this holy assembly, once again, I'm going all in.
Going all in. I like that. It's high energy. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And the seat that you're sitting in has been anointed, has been prayed over. But I want this message to impact you as well. The fact that you need to go all in. That's the new normal. Not just to sit and wait for God to do something, but to act on what you already know. Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But Romans 8:19, it says, all of creation is waiting. in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed or be manifested on planet Earth. And it even says there's a groaning going on in people because they know there must be more. There must be a God. How do you think God's going to manifest himself on this earth? Through us. Through us. And I want to declare that this is the season. This is the new normal after the pandemic. The Bible says the church is getting, the world's getting darker. So I want to declare the church is getting brighter. And the light of God's presence is coming forth in you. You know, the Surfside collapse last week, I couldn't believe it. I was hearing the commentators and the city officials calling on help for prayer. They said, we have everything we need. And more. They have all the equipment, all the money that came in. We got everything we need. What we need now is prayer. Yeah. Yay. They said, and we need miracles. We need a church. We need a people of God that believe in miracles. And listen, all of creation, the way this world has gotten so chaotic, all of creation is looking for that as well. You know, we saw a couple teams from here go over to Surfside and minister to people on the streets. And I was just so blessed to hear, Bruce, you and Billy and your team were able to get into the restricted area. You know, when people know that you're serious about coming to pray, you know, you can get in. I remember when we got in, when the Trade Center towers came down at Ground Zero in New York City, and we came to pray. There were other people there for search and rescue and all, but we came to pray. And they said, go on in. The world values a people that know who they are with the boldness, the courage, and the authority to pray and to connect people to God. Church, I believe we're in that season, and it's probably not going to get better. So I want to challenge you today to be looking about what God's already done for you and what he's going to do to make you a testimony here in the world today. By the way, the teams reported to me when they were out to Surfside, they prayed for 46 people, 35 salvations, including six Jewish people. There were a lot of Jewish people in that came to know Jesus as Messiah. They prayed for 10 police officers, 10 firemen, firefighters, and six news commentators. I hope they had CNN news commentators that they prayed for there. But I just really believe that we're living in a time where God wants to use each and every one of us. So I want to talk about the power of your testimony. Let's take a look at that word testimony. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says an open acknowledgement, a public profession of a religious experience. If God's done something for you, you have firsthand experience. You have authenticated that there's a God. You are the evidence of God on the earth today. You know, in the early service, Greg is in that service who God, last year about this time, God opened his blind eye here in the sanctuary. He wasn't even at the altar. He was just sitting during worship. And he's been a Catholic all his life. He didn't know anything about healing. You know, they didn't teach that in his church. But he's sitting there in praise and worship. His eye pops open. Man, I've been telling Greg, I said, you are a living testimony that cannot be denied that God still opens blind eyes. Woo! And I'm telling you, inquiring minds want to know. They don't want to know about your church or your doctrine. But if God, the creator of the universe, if he's done something like that for you, they want to know. And I know that there's been many testimonies that have come out of Surfside. Have you been hearing some of these about people whose homes went down, but they didn't die? There's been a couple of people that said something woke them up moments before their home went down. One lady's name, her name's Esther, an 88-year-old woman. You might have saw her being interviewed. She said she woke up, the room was shaking, and so something inside of her said, get out. But she had a bad knee, so she moved out of her room. She went to the closest stairwell, and she went to the stairwell, and then she said, she said, I couldn't move. I couldn't get down there. But at that moment, there was a fellow with his family coming down, and he said, you got to go now. The place was shaking. She said, I can't. I got a bad knee. He threw her over his shoulder and walked her down five flights or five floors and saved her life. And you know what she said? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. She said, somebody up there was looking after me. That stairwell went down. There's another testimony of a woman that while she's going down the stairwell was breaking up and going down, and she got out. Hallelujah. Did you hear today there was a cat that got out? His masters didn't, but he got out. Nine lives? But I've been looking for a testimony. I had to throw that one on you. You know, that cat now is being celebrated. But there's many, many testimonies like that. Listen, the world is asking, what about God? What about God? There was another young couple, this young man, they're from Brazil, him and his girlfriend. You might have saw this testimony. He was at his girlfriend's house. He had a condo there in the towers that went down. And that night, he was at his girlfriend's house watching the soccer game between Brazil and Colombia, I think it was. And it went late, and it was over, and he was going to go home. And when he was getting ready to go home, his girlfriend said, "Look, don't go home. It's late. Just stay here. You stay on the couch and stay until morning." He said, "No, I got to get home. I got to get up early." And he said, "I got to go home, get a shower and all." And she said, "No, just stay." And she said she didn't know why she was so persistent that he stay. 2 hours later, his home went down. Had he gone home, he would have been in that pile of rubble. And what they're saying, she said, "I don't know why I was so persistent, but it must be God." I'm telling you, people are looking. People are looking for God to manifest himself. And I want you to think about today everything that God's done for you. In fact, take inventory of it. Write it down. Talk about it. Because the world wants to know, and you are living testimony. I put this picture up regularly for you to see. I want you to see yourself this way. Because last week we talked about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, and just what that represents. It's heaven's influence on earth. I want you to look beyond the fact that God lives in your heart, because sometimes you just hide him away in your heart and you think he's just for you. But I want you to see this beam of light around you that gives you influence wherever you go. You walk with influence by the power of God, the influence of heaven. We are God's community on earth. We carry God's culture, God's language, God's lifestyle, God's values, and God's morals. It's a domain of righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. It's a domain of peace and joy. And in the midst of the chaotic world that we're in, there's going to be a people that emerge. And the Bible says they're going to come to you for a testimony. You know, we're finding it with our go-out teams easier and easier. Sarah, you've got to be finding it too. You did an outreach with your team down in Northport yesterday and saw souls saved. We were out at Walmart yesterday and saw souls saved. You know, it's getting easier and easier because people are looking for reality in Christ. But on the 4th of July, that last Sunday night, you know, we had praise in the park. We were out on the, with our worship team, one of the worship teams out on the stage. And, you know, a couple years ago, the city said they weren't going to rent that space to us anymore. And so we took a chance of just going out there anyway and worshiping God. And so we've been doing that for a couple years. And, you know, people are coming. People are coming for the ministry. And then we have the teams go out and around and pray for people. And just around the fireworks last Sunday night, our team prayed for 46 people, 36 salvations. That's a pretty good. And we bring back slips for follow-up because I don't want people to say, yeah, well, somebody just said yes to Jesus. No, they also got their name and address and phone number and got a picture taken with them, you know. And a blind eye was open. A 99-year-old woman who had been blind in her one eye for 22 years. I remember numbers. I don't know what it is. But Bruce, you were sharing this with me. And God gave her a partial healing in that eye to where she could see partially out of it. Thank God. That's a good start. I'm going to take that. Amen. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Don't always expect instantaneous, but we sowed a seed. Maybe she's got full sight out of it now. But I love hearing these reports of going out, and it's getting easier and easier. Okay, let me give you some scripture about your testimony, because I want to declare to you, church, that I have a feeling it's not going to get any easier. And if you're going through something right now, the best encouragement I can give you is that you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. And you're going to have a testimony for it. Because remember, no moaning without a test. You're going to have a testimony. And that's the most authentic sermon you can preach. Don't be looking to become a preacher. I don't recommend it, you know. There's a lot of sacrifice that comes to standing up here. But I'm going to tell you something. When God's done something for you, it authorizes you. You're a firsthand witness of the power of God. Your testimony is an authentic sermon that people want to hear. They don't want to hear about your church, don't want to hear about your doctrine. But if you can stand before them and tell them that you had a terminal illness and God healed you and you've got proof that doctors don't understand, it was a miracle. Let me tell you, people want to hear more. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And then the next verse says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in frail jars of clay where we feel weakness, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." You know, we want to know that whatever we've got that's going for us, give God the glory. Yes. Amen. Don't say, "Well, I don't know how it happened. It was just a coincidence." No, it was a God incident. Yes. You know, anything that you can't explain, or when you know that you prayed and God answered that prayer, let me tell you, give him all the glory. Now, I'm going to repunctuate this verse because the King James interpreters, they just didn't get it right. So here's the Pastor Phillips translation here. I'm going to put a period right here because this verse goes on to the next couple verses. Here, I'll put it up here. So we have this treasure in jars of clay, period, to show that this all-surpassing power that you have inside of you is from God and not from you. You are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We're going to go through those storms. I mean, we've prayed them away so far, but we're in hurricane season. Listen, if a hurricane comes here, God is going to be with us in that storm. One of you, you know who you were. You were texting me during when the storm was on its way and saying, "Pastor Phil, I've never been through a storm before. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I don't know." I said, "Don't worry about it. We've prayed and we're going through it together. So you're not alone." She said, I'm alone. I said, "You're not alone. You have Christ with you." Amen. "And you've got us with you. We're going to go with it. We're going to go through whatever we go through together. Hallelujah. So we're perplexed, but not in despair, the scripture says. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What I'm saying is all these things that are going around us, we may go through them all, but we're going to always be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to know that Christ is with us in the middle of the fire, like he was with the Hebrew boys. But you know what happened after the Hebrew boys got out of that fire? They got promoted. That evil king Nebuchadnezzar that, you know, had a God complex, thought he was God. He humbled himself. And he said, I now command that everybody worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Folks, that's where we're headed. Because the Bible says that nations and kings will be drawn to the brightness of our dawning in this day. Here's the next verse. It says, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you might go through sickness. My wife was catching a healing all week. So glad to see her at the piano this morning. But, you know, when your wife is under the weather, you know, you hurt with her. But so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, in the early service, my assistant Janelle was on the front row. Her and her husband Paul, they went through something the last 30 days that was finally a victory yesterday, just yesterday. Paul's not here because Paul is back in medical school. He's got 11 months, he'll be away, and then he'll have his medical degree. He was out, there were a lot of situations there. It looked totally impossible 30 days ago, totally impossible. And then there was a miracle, one miracle, because Paul was throwing up his hands. He's saying, that's it, I don't know, I can't go back to school. I said, you keep praying and believing and doing everything you know to do. Give God a chance to create this miracle. Well, he got a miracle, but he wasn't out of the woods yet. And then the next deadline came up, and there was just no way, no way. But his faith had increased a little bit more. Now he wasn't saying, that's it, I'll give up. He was saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Keep praying and believing, and let's see what God will do. Another miracle. Woo! Wow. We were excited. But he wasn't out of the woods yet. And it took another miracle this past week, to where he could leave yesterday and head up to Ohio to enroll in school. Come on, somebody. I believe we're all facing miracles every day that we need to make note of. You know, this week in our staff chapel, Bethany Freer gave a testimony. She says, I was out on the highway. I was getting delayed a little bit, she said, and I was getting frustrated, but an accident happened in front of her where a wheel came off of a monster truck. She said, had she not been delayed, that wheel would have come right in the front of her car. She said, that little bit of delay, you know, that was her testimony. Maybe saved her life, certainly saved her from a terrible accident. I want you to start looking for miracles in your life and start declaring that God is with you. Let me show you something else here. It's power to overcome the devil. Your testimony, Revelation 12:11, says that they overcame him, speaking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now remember, the book of Revelation was written by John. God took him to heaven, or showed him heaven. And he said in chapter 7 there, that, or chapter 12, I think it was, that he saw an innumerable number of people around the throne in white robes and waving palm branches. That was us, by the way. And we have palm branches in Florida and in heaven. Hallelujah. Go Florida. And they were worshiping God. But the word of the Lord came to him and said, these are them that overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Listen, if you have a testimony, make sure and word it. Speak about it. Declare it. Last week we were talking about the Declaration of Independence, that we've got to make a declaration of independence from the spirit of this world, from the enemy. We have to make a declaration of independence from sickness and speak to the sickness. Tell the sickness it's unauthorized in the kingdom of God because we're living in the culture of heaven. You're unauthorized. Sometimes I think we just put up with the enemy's culture too long, and we just got to start coming against it. But this word of your testimony is so important. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, this is a time where we got to stop complaining. No more complaining. Start believing that everything you're going through. You heard one of the speakers in one of our youth camps say, you know, don't worry about the cards that you were dealt. You know the dealer. God has a victory in mind for you. No matter what you're going through, He's got a victory in mind for you so that your faith can increase, so your testimony can increase. He's got somebody He's bringing in your path that needs a testimony of the victory that you experience. You know, my wife and I, and early in our marriage, we went through a challenge that many people would have gotten divorced over. And for a while, we were planning on throwing in the towel. It was complicated, as they say. But today, almost 47 years married. We obviously got married when I was 3. But I think about this because had we not dug a little deeper and trusted God, we wouldn't have a testimony that we've been able to help many, many marriages to say, okay, just dig in a little deeper, trust God. And I remember when we made that decision, that it was three months later that God gave us a supernatural affection for each other that we didn't have on the day that we got married. You know, God gave us something supernaturally because we fought the good fight of faith. So the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God's working hard to bring you through with a victory. I want to give you some example. Say this with me. We are overcomers. He's not necessarily going to remove the storm like He did this week. We're still in hurricane season. We could go through a storm, but we're going to be overcomers. You are an overcomer. Say it again. We are overcomers. That's the last day's remnant church. We're going to go through some things, but the world's going to see that we're going through it differently. We're going through it with the joy of the Lord, with faith, with declaration, with hope. So I want to give you some Old Testament Faith Hall of Fame examples. David. When David came to the battlefront to bring his brothers some food, remember, David was just a little shepherd boy. He came to the battlefront. When he saw the giant, he had faith to believe that God, say God, that God could deliver him from that big problem. But I want you to see that he reviewed the victories of the past. I put it up here. He said, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. It might have been a cub of a lion, a cub of a bear. You know, we don't know. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That's why it's so important for us to take inventory of every little thing that God has done in our lives. You know, I had a big thing on the highway one time. I was going through a big intersection and a lady coming from my right ran a red light. And she came right into my path. And I'm telling you, I went right through her. And we never had an accident. Because she pulled over, I pulled over, she was shaking. She said, "How did you miss me? How did you miss me?" I said, "It was God." I was shaking too, because I had no time to hit the brakes, no time to avert that accident. Church, can I say that? I went through her. I became transparent. God did not allow that accident that day. That's my testimony, and I'm sticking with it. She got out, and I said, "Well, listen," I said, "God is with me." I said, God kept us from having an accident today. She took my hand, said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." I had her hand. I said, "Let me pray for you." It's a divine appointment, you know. But I tell you what, there's going to be more of that happening, because that's what the world's going to listen to. The testimony of flesh and blood people who have had that kind of living experience with God. So no matter what you're going through, count it all joy. It's going to increase the power of your testimony. And by the way, in this story, remember when the Saul, the king, who the Bible says stood head and shoulders over everybody, big guy, and here's little David, when he saw David's face, he said, "Okay, I appoint you. You can go fight him." What? Your testimony is attractive. Your testimony gives you authorization. It demonstrates God in a way that's so much bigger than you can imagine. Let's talk about Moses. Say, Moses. Moses. God said, "I'm calling you to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. Go tell them to set my people, let my people go." Moses said, "Not me." He said, "What if the people of Israel say, 'We don't believe you, that God didn't meet with you'?" And what did God say? "What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." God said, "Throw it down." You know, there was a little miracle there. It turned into a snake. And then he performed that miracle in front of the Pharaoh and all that. But I've reminded you before, a shepherd's staff traditionally was something that the shepherd used to chronicle, literally by sketching into his staff, he'd chronicle the miracles or the events of his life that were worth remembering. I want to say the testimonies, maybe the lion and the bear kind of testimonies. And so when God said, "What's that in your hand?" I believe God's saying that to you. Say, "Well, I'm not able. God can't use me." Wait a minute. Take inventory of your life. What's that in your hand? I've told you before, I remember at least 5 distinct times in my life I should have been dead, but God spared my life. And I'm not even counting that traffic accident. So maybe it's 6. And I don't know the many times that I just don't know that I could have been dead. But I want you to make note of them and start celebrating them, because the battles are not going to get any smaller, but we are getting stronger. What's that in your hand? What's that God's already delivered you from? Jehoshaphat, when the enemy was coming in from all directions, I mean, this was a major problem. He had problems on every front. He prayed a prayer that reminded God of his promise. "Oh God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" You know, Isaiah 43, verse 26 says, God says, "Put me in remembrance. Review the past with me." You know, God remembers, but he wants you to remember. You know, we're distracted by so many things. But I believe, church, we're living in a time where the power of your testimony is going to be the most effective sermon that the church can preach. I want to see people healed in here so they can go out and heal on the streets. I want to see people saved in here. Yes, but so we can go into all the world and save. There's so many people that will never darken the door of a church. And especially today when people have kind of written off religion, you know, or church, or they're looking for something real. Well, you're real. You're flesh and blood. And it'll cause your faith to increase. Peter and John in Acts 4. Peter and John were beaten. They were thrown into jail. They were released, and then it was commanded to them, don't you give your testimony. Don't you testify or witness about Christ. Here's what they said. We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. We've been there. We've handled it firsthand. God's done something for me. I can't stop speaking about that. I'm not talking about some pastor's sermon on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about a book that they would write off that's been written 2,000 years ago. I'm telling you that the creator of the universe healed me this week. Somebody say, wow. Think about that. God's going to use your testimony in these last days. Your testimony is evidence of God's work on earth. I want to put it that way. And in this particular account of Scripture, Jesus healed a blind man who was blind from birth. And the first thing that his disciples thought is, that's just so unfair. I'd think that way too. A little baby blind from birth, you know, that's just not right. And Jesus said, well, neither of them had sinned. This is what Jesus said. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Think about that for a moment. Maybe Surfside happened. Now, God didn't create that. But maybe Surfside happened so that some people would have a revelation of God in the midst of this. Maybe it's some of those people that we've already prayed for that gave their life to Christ because their hearts were tender. So you are that evidence on the earth. I want to give you some more scripture. I got to wrap it up. But in Luke 21, which is a last day's scripture, it says, in the last days, they will come to you for a testimony. Settle it in your heart, therefore, not to meditate on what you're going to say. In other words, you don't have to rehearse it. You don't have to have scripture memorized. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries, they won't be able to gainsay nor resist. That means they won't be able to mock you or resist you. Listen, they can mock you for going to church, but they can't mock you for being a firsthand witness of a God who healed you from a terminal illness that medical doctors can't understand. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid when you have a testimony of God in your life. Here's Isaiah 60. You hear me quote this all the time, but I want to get it through your eye gate here today. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and gross thick darkness, the peoples. We're seeing that today like never before. It's craziness. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Hallelujah. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Hallelujah. In the early service, I was telling you about, I stopped in to meet a new woman that moved on to our campus here, bought a condominium. And she said, Pastor Phil, I got to tell you how we got here. She was there with her son, and his wife was helping her move in. I got to tell you how we got here. I said, okay. She said, we were driving by the property and we saw the big cross. And I said to my son, turn in there. What is this place? And she said, we drove all the way in the boulevard to Miracle Manor. We parked and got out and walked in and found somebody at the desk there and said, what is this place? And one of our astute staff, because I drive this into them, said appropriately, this is a place for God's presence. So we can connect people to God. And of course, on the back wall there behind the front desk, it says, big letters, Christian Retreat, your place in God's presence. I said, oh. And started ministering. They just started telling this family, you know, what the place was. this family walks out the front door. She's telling me, Dad, you'll like this. Walks out the front door, and her son says, whoa, whoa, I feel the presence of God. He said, let's get in the car. He said, I just got to sit down. I got to sit here for a moment. He said, it's the presence of God. His mother's looking at him saying, yay, yay. She said he hasn't been in church for a while. They go back, look at a place and buy it. They want to come and stay where there's the presence of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, his glory is appearing. We are the evidence of God living on the earth today. Church, we're rising up, and this is our finest hour for such a time as this. I want to close on this verse. In 2 Corinthians 12, we see Apostle Paul talking about this thorn in the flesh. Now, some of you think that you have a thorn in the flesh. Now, he said it was a messenger of Satan that came to torment him. It could be an illness, just a constant illness. It could be a situation that you just can't get rid of, a legal battle or whatever. I don't know why this is blinking, but in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, take authority over this electronics. Anyway, Apostle Paul said on three distinct occasions, he asked God to take it away. God had answered his prayers before, but you know what God said? No, I'm not going to. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so the Apostle Paul said, well, then most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities so that the power of God will come through me. He says, because God said, he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect. My power is going to come forth in your weakness. I'm going to show you the next verse. So Apostle Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then God is strong. Let me tell you, your weakness is a qualification if you've got God living in you. I'm telling you, wake him up. Wake up the Spirit of God in you. I'm telling you, we're living, it's the new normal. The new normal for the church is the power of your testimony. In the early service, I saw a brother that came to church, has been out with a sickness. He's been out with a cane. He came to church for the first time and without his cane to church. I mean, miracles are still happening. Carmen, are you coming up to...